Tonight we learned after Torah, Parshas Bahar. As with most connected parashiyos, it's a parasha that's not read on a typical year, but it's a parasha with a sort of a double message. It's a halachic parasha, Haftarah, and a Musar one as well. It's the story of Yirmiyahu purchasing a field, which sounds innocent enough, but we'll explain. First, I want to give you the setting of where this takes place. This is a Perek Lamed Beis of Yirmiyah, and it starts in the middle of the Perek. The Perek begins by dating this discussion, and for the understanding of the significance of the Haftarah, you have to know when it took place. The Perek begins, Adover HaShoah Ya'al Yirmiyahu Me'es HaShem Bashonah HaSiris L'Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda. It was the 10th year of the reign of Tzidkiyah. Now, why is that significant? Right? How long did Tzidkiyah reign? You remember? The last four kings, after Yeshua HaMelech was killed, reigned 3 months, 11 years, 3 months, 11 years. In the total of 23 years. Tzidkiyahu was king for 11 years till the Churban took place. So that this takes place within a year of the Churban, which, as you'll see, is important. And it also takes place in jail. The Perek begins with the when and then the where. Pasuk Beis is Oz Chel Melech Bavel Tzoram Yerushalayim. The king of Bavel was besieging Yerushalayim. V'Yirmiyahu Anavi Hayakolu B'Chatzara Matorah Shebeis Melech Yehuda. And Yirmiyahu was in jail. If you get a good tour guide, he'll point out to you the banana shop across from the old city where they think the Chatzer HaMatorah was. Now, whether it was in a banana shop or not, I don't know, but it was in that neighborhood. When you take the bus that goes through, that goes into the Shara Ashba, that's the number one bus, and it takes you around the old city, so when you're going through the Arab area, there's a big banana place across the street, and that's where they think the Chatzer HaMatorah was. Again, it's not important if it was the exact spot, but it was in that area. And at that time, there was a siege around Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu was thrown into jail for predicting the Churban, essentially. And Tzidkiyahu's role in this is a discussion for a different time. But the point is that he was in jail, and it was a year before the Churban. Within a year of the Churban, the siege had already begun. And the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and the Jews were going to be sent to Galus. And Yirmiyahu knew this. And that makes the story of the Haftarah especially significant. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Hayadvar Hashem Elai Leimar. That's how the Haftarah begins, right? Yirmiyahu said, let me tell you the word of God. Hine Chanamel ben Shalom Doitcha ba Elecha. Chanamel, your uncle, will come to you, Lamer, saying, "Kinelecha esadi asher ba'anasais." I have a bargain for you. I'm willing to sell my field. Kilecha mishpat ha'geula liknas. You're the closest relative. I have no money. Everybody had no money at that time. It was a time of siege, and I'll sell you my field. Now, if you just start the Haftarah without the first six psukim, it sounds almost normal. Somebody is poor, and he tells his relative, "Redeem my field." But the whole point is the context. The context is that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. This is a very poor investment. It's not a very good investment. You know, when ISIS is taking over the city and someone says, "You want to buy my field?" It's not the best time to purchase. So here, there's a siege around the city, and Chanamel says, "You know, I can't afford my field anymore. You buy it from me." And Yirmiyahu does so, and the point of this parak is that Yirmiyahu says that we're coming back. That buy, he tells the people, buy, invest in Eretz Yisrael, we're coming back. It'll take 70 years, but you can get land at a bargain. And as long as you take care to watch your documents so that when you didn't come back, you can prove it's yours, you'll have a good investment. What is the connection of this Haftarah to the parasha? So I guess the simple connection is that the parasha talks about redeeming fields, and the Haftarah talks about redeeming fields, but the Lavush writes that the parsha begins with Shemitah, which is a sense of betachin, having betachin with your livelihood, risking your livelihood and not tilling your field because you have faith in the Rabbi Nishalayim. And the Haftarah is about the same idea. Yirmiyah is saying, invest in these fields and have faith in the Rabbi Nishalayim, we're coming back. The Klal Yisrael is coming back, and it's a good investment if you're in the mood for a long-term investment. So, the question of Yovel, the Malbim, he mentions Yovel here, but it seems to be a mistake. Yovel, the Gemara says in Erechin that there were 17 Yovel periods. 850 years is 17 50-year periods from when they entered Eretz Yisrael until the Chorban. However, they only observed 14 Yovels. Because the last three Yovels, the Gemara said, was L'cheshman Shemitah Bilvad. You need Roiv Yisrael al Admasam. Yovel is only when Roiv of the Jews are in Eretz Yisrael. From when the 10 Shvatim went to Galus, the Yovel was not observed. So since the 10 Shvatim went to Galus, there were only 14 observed Yovels, and the other three were not. Of the 14 Yovels, the Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years, which would be 8 Yovels, but the last three don't count, so there were 5. So there were 9 Yovels before the Beis HaMikdash was built, 5 after the Beis HaMikdash was built, and then Yovel never occurred again. Chaim Kanievsky, in his incredible, I don't know how a person does this, but he says, if you go through Parshas Behar, it says the word Yovel 14 times. Of the 14 Yovels, 9 are written Choser, Yud, Vez, Lamed, and 5 are written Mala, Yud, Vav, Vez, Lamed. To be Meram is that 9 Yovels will be when the Beis HaMikdash, when we're Choser the Beis HaMikdash, before the Beis HaMikdash is built, and 5 Yovels will be when we're Mala, when the Beis HaMikdash is built. I'll tell you, when I saw this, I didn't believe it was true. Because I didn't think there are 9 Yovels missing a Vav. I took out a Chumash and I counted. And so I was the fool because, of course, it's true. But, for a person to notice these things, it's just an incredible thing, It's like somebody wanted a Bechina from the Gra on Mesechta's Gittin. He said, I'm ready for a Bechina. So the Gra said, okay, how many Pasul of Gittin are there in the whole Mesechta? So, you can chaz 100 times and not know how many Pasul of Gittin there are in the Mesechta. So anyway, that's Reb Chaim Scheshman of the Yovels in the Torah. It says something about they call them the codes, right? It says something about the pashtus of the Amita Satara. At any rate, the point is that that this parasha is about the faith and that Yirmiyah had, and he demanded from the people to believe that he is not coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Vayave alaycha namel ben doidi. Now you have to realize, pasuk, the first pasuk of the Nevuah was Hashem saying He will come. Vayave alaycha namel ben doidi kidvar Hashem, and Chananel came. He visited jail. You get to visit jail every once in a while. Lachatzara matara. Vayemir elai kineino esadi asher ba'anoses asher beretz binyamin ki lecha mishpat hayerusha lecha hageula kineiloch. And I realize that this is the word of Hashem. It's a very difficult pasuk. He didn't know before. You hear me? He was an experienced Navi. He didn't know. So the Malbim says that he was Mesupik. In the Nevuah it said, Chananel will come and tell you, purchase the field, ki lecha mishpat hageula. So he wasn't sure, where do you put the comma? Where do you put the close quotation marks? Is it Leimar? Kinela chasad yeshabanosais. End of quotation. And God is saying l'cha mishpat hageula, and you have to do it because you're the mishpat hageula. Or is kinela chasad yeshabanosais l'cha mishpat hageula all part of the quote of Chananel? In which case, he's not obligated to buy. So he says, since Chananel added words of Yerusha, whatever that means, Milcha Mishpat HaYerusha, he understood Ki Devar Hashemu. The words Ki Lecha Mishpat HaGeula was Hashem saying to Yirmiyah, yes, I want you to buy it. For Eknes Asada Meis Chananel Ben Doidi. There is a little inconsistency here If Chanama was the uncle or the first cousin. In the second pasuk of the Haftarah, he calls him his uncle, and then twice calls him his first cousin. Chai Kadievsky, in this Tama Dekra on Yirmiyah, has a biur that there were two Chanamels. There were actually two Chanamels, the uncle and the cousin. But to be that as it may, he goes and he buys it. Ve'eshkel olayas hakesef shiva shkalim v'asara kasef. And I purchased it for full price, for 7 shkalim, 10 kasef. Ve'echtoiv v'sefer ve'echtoim. I wrote it in a sefer and I sealed it. Ve'ed eidim and had witnesses. Ve'eshkel hakesef v'maznayim. Where's Yirmiyah getting money in jail? He bribed the guards. I don't know if he gave him the money in jail. I suppose he had his accountant or whoever took care of his money give him the money, I guess. But yeah. You mean Doitcha goes on Shalom? Perhaps. Perhaps. Does somebody suggest that? That would obviously answer the... you're suggesting, I wonder if one of the Mepharshim suggested. So. Yeah, okay. I meant if... it would be a good way to resolve it. They tie it that way. Okay. So that's a good way to resolve it. Now, this Haftarah, these Pesukim are seen in both Bava Basra and Kiddushin as a source for the din of a shtar. Now, I want to explain... the unique place shtaris occupy in halacha, and there are two distinct areas in which the concept of shtar operates sort of in a outside of the normal context of the law. The halacha is now. First, there are two types of shtaris. There's a shtar kinyan. A man gives his wife a shtar for kiddushin or a divorce. That's called a shtar kinyan. It's a shtar that does something. A normal shtar, though, is a shtar raya. A shtar you bring as proof. You have a deed to a piece of property, or you have an IOU. You have a contract. That's called a shtar raya. A shtar that's proof. Now, a shtar raya shouldn't work. The halacha requires witnesses to say testimony on their own. We have a gezeiras hakasav, mipiyam v'loy mipiksavam. If a witness doesn't come to Bezdin, he wants to send his testimony in written form, that's not acceptable to Bezdin. Mepiyam v'loy mipiksavam, mishtar has to be, witnesses have to give testimony verbally, they have to personally give testimony, or else it's not acceptable. Yet, a shtar raya is accepted in Bezdin. I mean, you learn Gemara, you know. That a shtar is proof. The Gemara talks about kiyum shtaris, how you prove a shtar is, and the question really is how that works. And there's an extraordinary level of disagreement among the Rishayim. The Rambam holds that all shtaris are derabanan. The Rambam maintains that a shtar raya is a takana derabanan, and that's why the Gemara brings it from Yirmiyah, not from the Chumash. It was a takana that was instituted later. And it was instituted out of necessity because it's just not practical, especially in an age where there were no phones and there was no poor communication. It's not practical to lend someone money, have witnesses, and give someone a 2-year loan and hope that 2 years later the witnesses will be alive, well, and available to come to Bezdin. So as a matter of necessity, the Rabbanu are misakin shtaris. The Ramban says, shtaris the Rabbanan. It says shtar by a get. It says by gittin. It says a shtaris. So they all answer the Rambam. The Rambam is made the shtar kinyan. That a shtar is a kinyan. That's not a problem. The question is how a shtar is a raya in Bezdin. How it could present testimony. So this is the Rambam shita. The shtaris adarabanan. However, most Rishayim disagree, and they hold essentially the Balamor. Writes that there's a concept of shtar, which is sort of an exception to the rule. There's what the Rosh Yeshiva called, Reb Chaim gave a name, Kayach HaShtar. There's a certain Kayach HaShtar, and it's an incredible thing. If you have witnesses you think will be poor witnesses in a Jewish court, and you feel that they're not confident, they won't answer questions well, you should do is get them to write a shtar. Because the halacha is, if they say testimony in court, then they're cross-examined. Then there's drishul chakira. But shtar in Beis Din is kakasa b'chasam dami. Every eidim aksumim shtar is like there. It's accepted in Beis Din. There's no cross-examination. Yeah, this is halacha chayshim mishpat. A proper shtar that has kiyum, that we know the signatures are authentic. A shtar, and not only that, a shtar chazaka b'shtar shanasa begadol. If you have a shtar, you assume the witnesses were ksherim and they were gedalim. There's a certain assumption of validity to a shtar. It goes to incredible lengths. Rabbi Chanan, in his fascination with the din of koyach hashtar, brings an incredible Rashba. Listen to this. The Chubas HaRajma, Maisa Shahaya. A man gifted his property to his daughters. He wanted his daughters to have Yerusha, so he gave, I don't know if he gave all his property, some of his property, it doesn't matter. He wrote a shtar in which witnesses signed that he was giving his property to his numerous daughters. Turns out one of the witnesses in the shtar is related to one of his daughters through marriage. In other words, one of the witnesses was the daughter's husband's brother. So the Rashba paskins that since we have a concept of koyach hashtar, we bend over backwards to kasha the shtar, we assume that the man meant to give it to all his daughters except the one that's the sister-in-law to the aide. So we're machshir the shtar, and we say, let's say there were five daughters, and the shtar says, I give my daughters this piece of property. We give it to the four and not to the one. We bend over backwards to be machshir the shtar. That's a Rashba, that's a Rish. Rav Chanan clears. What happens if this shtar came to Beis Din? And Beis Din says, well, it's a brother-in-law, he meant to give it to four. What happens if later we find the Kedushin was not a good Kedushin? He was Mekadish this woman, and we find out for some technical reason the Kedushin was invalid. Do we now go back to the shtar? Now the witness is no longer a relative. Do we go back to the shtar and we say, now we meant to give it to all five instead of to four out of five? Rabbi Chanan's point is that there's this sort of legal idea that a shtar is presumed to be good and we bend over backwards to say it's good. Rabbi Chanan brings another tshuva of the Rashba. There was a shtar that was signed, dated, and apparently at the time it was written that it was by day. It had a date, and the date was Shabbos. So it couldn't have been written. They were firm people. They made a mistake on the date. So there's a 50-50 chance. It could be they accidentally post-dated it. It could be they accidentally predated it. Odds are 50-50 if they made a mistake. The big difference. A post-dated shtar is kosher. A predated shtar is totally possible. So again, Rav Chanan brings also from the Rashba that there's a concept of koyach hashtar, even though it's 50-50, it's a safek gomer. We're machshir the shtar, because we say, it could go this way, it could go that way, we assume shtaris are good. It's sort of the recognition that commerce can't work without shtaris, business can't work without shtaris. And we have to have this idea of a koyach hashtar.
So you don't have a presumption like we do in English law that you could cross-examine the witnesses?
You could cross-examine witnesses, but a shtar, the witnesses could be dead. It's hard to cross-examine dead people. There's no requirement that they show up in Beis Din. The shtar, that's the Gelosha of the Gemara is, Eidim achasumim b'shtar, kemi shenechguru eidusam b'Beis Din. Certain koyach hashtar. And that whole din of koyach hashtar is learned from here. If you hold shtaris ha-drabanan, then it's a drabanan enactment by the time of Yirmiyah. And if you hold shtaris ha-deraisa, so like we say always, whenever we have kiddushim in Navi, we say that it's halacha b'shem Sinai and asmachu akra. So this is the idea of koyach hashtar, and Mitzvah Shem will continue with the story on Tuesday. Again, for the Ezra's Nashim on Thursday, I don't think I'll be here for this year. So tomorrow Mitzvah Shem, and then next week Monday.